Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Driving down the interstate, running 30 minutes late, singing Margaritaville and minding my own. Some foreign car driving dude with a road rage attitude pulled up beside me talking on his cell phone. He started yelling at me like I did something wrong. He flipped me the bird and then he was gone. Some beach somewhere, there's a big umbrella casting shade.
Summertime songs on this 17 degree day is your artist of the day. Because I just can't take it, man. Notice Dan's not wearing the coat anymore. He couldn't take it.
I went out during the last segment, and it was already off.
That's great.
He didn't even last a segment.
That's a warm coat, man. That is a warm coat. So, good afternoon, everybody. A week from tomorrow, we're going to be at Bogey's Windy City Pub in South Leawood, your neck of the woods, 133rd and State Line. It'll be an honor and a privilege to spend that Friday afternoon with you. The Astros apparently are trending on Twitter this afternoon.
Yeah, we might get to that later because there's a way to apologize and apparently a way to not apologize.
What's going on?
They have stepped in it. I think they tried to apologize for cheating, and people have taken to social media.
The banging on
tweeting,
the trash cans and everything.
Yes,
yeah.
And we might get to that later.
There's
an art to the apology, and they did not pull this off well.
People are saying that the players should have to give up their rings.
Shouldn't they?
Do you think any team doesn't cheat? Give me a break.
Oh, Scott. It's the coordinated effort.
No, I don't.
And I read an article last night.
To answer your question, no, I don't think they should give up.
I read an article last night that this was an open secret for at least 2 years in Major League Baseball, that everybody knew it was going on. They didn't know exactly how.
Why are they banging on trash cans?
But they knew something was going on.
Are they mad over there in that other dugout?
They stripped Armstrong of his titles.
So the Major League Baseball commissioner, by the way, is in Kansas City for the Negro League's 100th year, I'm assuming, and did say during a news conference that the Astros, quote, must take responsibility for the sign-stealing scheme. But what does that mean? We did it. We're sorry. What does that mean?
And by the way, am I the only one who finds it a little disingenuous that Major League Baseball takes ownership of the Negro Leagues?
I don't think they're taking ownership. They made a huge donation, I saw. I think a $1 million donation.
We weren't going to allow you to play in our league because you're black.
Well,
but now we're going to come back and celebrate your league with you. I mean, give me a break.
I think we should all celebrate the fact that they have been...
You weren't welcome in our league because of the color of your skin. But since there are TV cameras here, we're going to show up. Major League Baseball might do well to stay away.
We should all celebrate the 100th anniversary and just for what it is. And
then maybe not send the commissioner.
I don't know.
You don't find that a little bit disingenuous?
I find it disingenuous that if you're banging on trash cans and you cheat for years and win World Series, that somehow that just gets to stand.
Listen. I never played above the high school level in baseball, okay? So I have no room to comment other than to say this. When we were playing for Lansing, if somebody was banging a bat up against a trash can in the dugout, I would imagine the umpire would say, "What the hell is going on?"
I think they got good at it, Scott. I don't think it was as obvious as you think it was.
Okay.
I think they got good at it.
Somebody
this is what we'll do. And if you're listening in the bonus hour, this will be on podcast. We might air some of the apologies in the 4 o'clock hour just so we can have a conversation about the art of the apology and what it should look like and what it should not look like and why people are so angry about the, quote, apologies today.
We've got a few minutes before we got to go to the break. The Astros held a news conference today. Their team president said at first that the banging on the trash cans had really nothing to do with it.
Right.
It didn't affect their winning or losing.
It didn't affect the outcome, which,
And then later kind of changed his tune later on in the news conference and said, well, it may have had something to do with it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Dana, you know enough about this story to be dangerous. You are the PR person for the Houston Astros. Write the apology right now.
We are mortified and deeply, deeply sorry for the conduct of our organization. Because they keep trying to push it off on a few players.
Mm-hmm. No way. There's no way
everybody
in the dugout's not like, why is Tom banging on that damn trash can?
There is nothing we can do to take back the actions of the past. We can only move forward and work hard every day to gain back the trust of our fans and other teams in our league.
Mrs. Wright. Hi, Scott Parks with KMBZ.
Yes.
Why should the Houston Astros not give up their World Series rings from a couple of years ago in light of the admission that you just gave that they cheated to win? Mrs. Wright.
Let me give you his answer. It didn't impact the game. That was his answer today.
Mrs. Wright.
Yes.
I'm asking you, as the PR director and the spokeswoman for the Houston Astros, why should the team not give up their rings from a couple of years ago in light of your admission today that they cheated to win? Mrs. Wright, go ahead.
His answer. Listen, the commissioner made it clear that we weren't going to go backwards. The championship stays intact, and I agree with him.
Mrs. Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, we had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that. That's what he said.
Wright.
We had a good team.
Mrs. Wright.
Sam Stevie.
Yeah, KMBZ Radio. Mm-hmm. Lance Armstrong didn't get any slack.
Yeah, you're darn right. You're darn tootin'.
Why do you think that you guys should get some slack?
If this was me, I would say we're giving back the trophy. We're giving back the rings.
No, you're not.
I know they're not, but they have no other option here, Scott.
If I was on that team, you would pry that ring off my dead cold finger.
Why? They cheated.
Everyone cheats.
Oh, come on. To his point, Lance Armstrong was skewered for it, and he said everyone else was doping. And I just became the poster child for it.
What is the one thing that Lance Armstrong and the Houston Astros have in common? They got caught.
Well, actually, they dug deeper into cycling after the Lance Armstrong thing and figured out that for the first person who wasn't cheating, it would be the 73rd or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would have been first.
And I know how deep your love goes for KU basketball. Do you think for 1 minute...
They strip titles in college athletics all the time.
And do you think they really remove those banners?
Well, we won, didn't we?
Do you think they go after Mario Chalmers?
Won, didn't we?
You're so bad.
Okay, Homer.
Do you think for a second somebody from the NCAA...
But this is more recent.
No. Do you think for 1 second somebody is flying down to Miami going, Mario Chalmers, we're going to need their ring back. They don't do that. When was the last time you were at Allen Fieldhouse?
I'm going Saturday.
Okay. I want you to look up in the rafters. Mm. You tell me if that 2008 banner is still there. You just tell me.
Yeah, there's a lot of banners up there.
Sure are.
If I have time to count them all.
I don't know if you'll have time to count them all either. What I'm saying
I'm surprised you, as a coach, and you've been around athletics more than I have,
yep.
I'm surprised you aren't saying they cheated, you've got to vacate that win. And your justification is because everybody does it. I don't know that everybody does it to that level.
That's a valid and a good point. And I'll tell you the one thing that I say to my girls on the soccer team before we go out on every game. Coach Dusty will back me up on this, and I'm telling you the truth. I always look at them dead in the eye and I say, we play tough, but we play fair. We do not cheat to win.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, you said, you can't win if you ain't cheating.
Well,
that is another famous line of Scott Parsons.
Now, what I also say after I say that is, if you ain't cheating,
you ain't winning.
You ain't winning.
Let me ask you this from just a practical standpoint. Does this somehow remove the closed circuit television system within the Doug?
Yes.
That's sure. Gone. For everybody.
And Altuve and anybody else on that team, good luck getting into the Hall of Fame when you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Because you cheated to win.
Why don't they just run the closed circuit TV on a 6-second delay? So that, because you would still know what the signs were. Mm-hmm. No, the TVs have to go.
Mm-hmm.
No cell phones, no closed circuit television. Mm-hmm. Why do they need a TV back there? They can see the game from where they're sitting.
And no trash cans.
No, there is no technology in the dugout. I believe the TV was back
the TV
in the
was like in the hallway.
It was in a hallway. Was in a hallway. And they were communicating back to the dugout through cell phone, and then somebody would bang. And now let's be very clear about what was going on, okay? This was not, here comes a curveball, here comes a slider. This was, here comes a fastball, or here comes something that's not a fastball.
You either knew it was a fastball coming at you,
or it was going to be a curveball, slider, a sinker, you know, something else. That's what the Astros knew. Was here comes a fastball
or something else.
Or here comes something else. Could be a changeup.
Yeah.
Could be a slider.
They weren't doing Morse code.
So we were comparing it to college athletics. Let's look at the Patriots in the NFL. They haven't had anything stripped from them.
Everyone says they're cheaters.
Well,
Tom Brady was suspended for 4 games. They lost draft picks.
Oh, that's true. But they didn't have titles stripped, is my point.
No, they did not. That's a fair point. I struggle with the idea of stripping anybody of a title. However, if you want to keep Altuve and the others out of the Hall of Fame, I'm all for it. They cheated to win. But you cannot strip them of a title. What are you going to do? Give it to the team that lost?
I don't know. That's the problem. Redo the season, maybe.
Oh, my God. 5-7-6-7.
In the summer, we'll just cram it in. I guess the winter.
576-7798. 576-7798.
Oh, I heard you do the grapevine. Oh, I'm just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, well. I know a man ain't supposed to cry, but these tears I can't hold inside. Losing you within my life, you see.
From the text line. In this conversation here, Pete Rose cheated on gambling on the game, and they won't let him in the Hall of Fame. I have no problem with Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame. He bet that his teams would win, not that they would lose. I have no problem with Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame. He never bet against his team. He always bet for his team.
Yeah, that's not cheating if you're not throwing the game.
Yeah. There is no evidence that Pete Rose ever threw a game.
Don't you think by now, with all of the information that's come out about the
Astros
and the trash can and the signals so that the batters knew what pitch was coming?
Well, they knew what pitch wasn't coming.
Correct. Don't you think by now, had the cheating been to this level in other Major League Baseball teams, all of that would have leaked out in the aftermath. And here's why, Scott.
Hmm.
They didn't get caught because their players turned themselves in. They got caught because they traded players who went on to play for other organizations who then thought, well, wait, now I'm on the other side of this. They're cheating.
Rats.
And so don't you think by now, because you keep saying everybody cheats, if it was true.
I believe that, too.
If it was true, though, that the other teams were cheating to that coordinated level, other traded players would be saying, okay, in fairness to the Astros, the Yankees were also doing this when I was there 4 years ago. None of that has come out. And I'm telling you, it would have if other teams were cheating to this level.
Snitches get ditches.
I'm telling you, I think they were on an island on their own on this.
DJ in Oklahoma. Hello, DJ.
Hey, Scott and Dana. First, Dana, I want to say I love our Salvador Perez.
Thank you, DJ. I do, too.
And I would be heartbroken if the Kansas City Royals were caught doing this.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing with Houston and the Astros. I loved Altuve, but I did a 180 on him, Scott, because he hit the walk-off playoff win home run against the Yankees last year.
Yep.
And he knew it was a fastball. He was going to home plate saying, don't tear off my jersey. Now, these are reported news things that I've heard.
What do you mean, don't tear off my jersey?
When I hit the home run.
Oh.
No, they sophisticated it to buzzers on their body.
To what on their body?
Buzzers.
Oh.
Taped.
Oh,
to
really?
Their body.
Oh, I have not heard this allegation.
Oh, yes. You talk to the players. Pitchers will tell you, I'd rather pitch to a man on steroids than somebody knowing what when I'm throwing a fastball. It's like the home run contest. So wait till Astros go to New York next year. You don't think they're going to get... Baseball's in for a big problem.
But DJ, why are they still playing? Because he was one of the ones they put out there to apologize today.
I understand that. Baseball is handling this totally
terrible.
Wrong.
Here's what he said, quote, "We especially feel remorse for the impact on our fans and the game of baseball. Our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and bring a championship back to Houston." That's Altuve.
Right. And on top of that, legal gambling is becoming legal. It's legal in New Jersey now. It's legal in Vegas. So...
What do you think? Let me ask you this, DJ, and we got to get to the news. What do you think is going to happen to Altuve when he goes to New York or he goes to Boston?
Oh, my. I would love to be in the seats.
Yeah.
I would love it.
He's going to get beamed.
Well, that's a right. I mean, hearing the fans is a show. But if he gets beamed, Major League Baseball has a big problem.
DJ, thank you for the call, and he's right. There is suspicion that he was wearing a buzzer. Why else would Altuve have begged teammates, do not rip off my jersey, as he crossed home plate after hitting the home run? And the allegation is he was saying, don't rip it off because I'm wired.
He's going to get hit a lot in the next season.
Now, the team categorically denies they were wearing buzzers.
Has any team ever said, yeah, you're right, we cheated our asses off, take all of our stuff? Yeah, we did it. I mean, the only team that I know of that just said, you know what, I give it up, we were caught, was the early 1980s SMU Mustangs. And they were given the death sentence of college football. They eliminated their college football program.
They have insisted there was no buzzer used to hit the game-winning home run last October.
Mm-hmm. He took the buzzer off right before that at-bat.
What is this strange wire here at third base?
It was itching him.
I mean, somebody's getting hit with some baseballs next year. Songs of Summer is your artist of the day today.
Well, I spent some time in the Mudville night, watching it from the bench. You know I took some lumps when the mighty case stood out.
Just wrapping up our conversation from last hour. I don't understand the buzzer. How did that work? I would imagine
denying it. Of course. They're denying there was no buzzer, but he does have a death grip on his jersey during the celebration, and then he runs straight into the clubhouse or into the area and changes out his shirt.
Now, he
says he did that every game.
I would imagine one buzz for fastball, two buzz for something else.
Where?
On your chest.
Left nipple, fastball. Right nipple, not a fastball.
Not a fastball if it's on the right nipple.
Oh, fastball.
Don't we all know that?
Wait a minute.
And wouldn't the catcher have heard the buzzing? Bzz, bzz.
No, not necessarily.
I don't think it was that aggressive.
All right.
Did I ever tell you the story when my brother fried his nipples off?
No, what?
No, no, and nor do I know that I need to hear that story.
My brother is a hairophobe. I love my brother dearly. I mean, he's my best friend on the planet. I love him to death. But from an early age, my brother has been, like, weird about hair. Like, he shaves everything. And we were in college, and I remember we had gone home one time to visit my parents, and my brother had decided to, he was going to use some Nair. Remember Nair?
Oh, yeah.
N-A-I-R?
If you dare wear short shorts, Nair, wear short shorts. Oh, yeah. What? Pink.
So chicks would rub Nair.
Before your time, Sam.
Yeah, okay. This was way before your time. There was this product, I don't even know if it still exists, called Nair, and women would rub it on their legs and in their armpits and stuff, and it was like an acid. It would eat the hair.
Sounds healthy.
So if you didn't want to shave, you would just rub Nair on your legs, and it would get rid of all the hair. So my brother, who's a hairophobe, one time when we were back at home, rubbed Nair all over his chest. Oh, like all over his chest to get rid of his chest hair.
Oh.
Yeah. And right after he did it, he rubs Nair all over himself. And then he puts on a white T-shirt. And we're sitting in the basement at my parents' house and hanging out with my dad, talking to him and watching TV. And I look over at my brother. I'm sitting on the couch, and he's sitting over there on the brick bottom part of the fireplace. And I'm like, I go, Beaver, you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? I go, your nipples are bleeding. I swear to God. He had two red dots on this white T-shirt where his
Gross.
Nipples were. And I go, what have you done? Your nipples are bleeding. And he looks down and he goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He had literally fried his nipples.
Well, it's acid-ish, I know. Isn't it? I don't think that they still sell it. I've never seen it in the stores.
I don't know what they put on it, but somebody says Nair is still around, by the way.
I never thought it worked.
He literally
burned. It's a chemical burn.
He burned, and your nipples, of course, are more sensitive than other skin.
Thank you. Yes.
He was bleeding through his nipples because he had rubbed Nair all over his chest.
That's so weird.
They do still sell Nair. They also sell Nair for men.
Which means your nipples won't bleed.
No, they'll probably still bleed. I think the sensitive skin thing.
That's in the fine print where it says, you know, for external use only on your legs. Mm-hmm. And I would honestly, I never thought it worked. I tried it like when I was a teenager, like everybody did. I never thought it worked.
Funny thing, when you search Nair on Google, one of the first things that pops up is, can you use Nair on your, and I'm not going to finish that sentence.
Right. I would not.
And does it say you can?
No, I would not.
It does not say that you should go ahead and do that.
I would not do that. Yes, I would not do that.
Are they talking about here or
yes.
here?
Either.
The lower one.
Okay.
Is this specific
Not a
question.
Good idea.
Yeah.
But thank you for the visual of your brother's predicament that I now cannot get out of my mind's
you
eye.
You want me to call him?
No, actually, okay. Not even a little bit.
All right, then I won't. Oh, jeez. I was just saying, he burned his nipples off.
Let's move on.
That's a real thing for guys.
God, move on. I don't care.
Well, I'm sorry you don't care about the male gender. I mean,
Marathon runners have issues with that all the time.
Here we go.
You have to tape your
nipples.
Yeah.
Here we go.
No, seriously, because the shirt going up and down.
Yeah, add chafing. That to one more of the 10,000 reasons why I don't run.
No, not for women, for men. If men are in a marathon, you're supposed to tape your nipples.
Yes, I've heard that.
Because the shirt rubbing up and down on your nipple will make it bleed.
It's fascinating stuff here that I really wish I didn't
it's true.
Know. But thank you.
Okay. Story here. An airline passenger has sparked a conversation online about the etiquette involved in reclining one's seat. After posting video of a man punching and pushing the back of a woman's chair in economy class. Wendy Williams was traveling from New Orleans to Charlotte, North Carolina on an American Eagle flight on January 31st when the episode occurred. Quoting here from Williams on Twitter, "Here's a great jackhole. He was angry that I reclined my seat and punched it about 9 times hard, at which point I began videoing him and he resigned to this behavior." By the way, this behavior is not punching the back of her seat.
It's like boom, 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 boom,
after,
boom, boom.
After he punched her seat 9 times and she started videoing him, he just started going, like tapping.
Looked like he was shaking it, kind of.
Yeah, like not punching it, but just kind of.
Yeah, and we've all been in a movie where there's a kid behind you. I hope it's a kid, you know, 10 or 11 years old. That constantly is kicking your seat. You don't know when it's going to happen. Boom.
I have been there.
Out of the blue. Ah, there it is. It's a maddening water drip on the forehead kind of thing. And what I want to know is how long did she put up with this, Scott?
It seems to be, according to this story, quite some time.
Does it say anything about whether or not he politely asked her to not lean her chair back?
Because at the beginning of this show, if you recall, I called this man the jerk seat puncher on the airplane. And Sam said, wait.
Why you do you think he's a jerk?
You think he's a jerk? And I'm like, have you seen the video? He was sitting in the very last seat in the plane. And anyone who's ever been in the very last seat knows one thing universally.
It doesn't recline.
Yeah, you've got a wall directly behind you. There's no reclining.
Mm-hmm.
So she, sitting right in front of him, does recline. His space is restricted because he cannot recline.
Correct.
And his juvenile solution is to just start bashing the back of her chair.
Do we know that, though, or did he try to handle it in an adult fashion first, and she said
based
no,
on his behavior, which off. Is on video, I don't think there was any adult fashion about anything he did on that day. That's a guess.
If somebody reclines their seat on an aeroplane and you're not happy with it, should you ask them to put it back up?
I have done so.
Or is it their right? I remember when Sean and I were married, we were just married. It's the closest I've ever come to getting into a fight in my life. We were on our way back from our honeymoon in London and she reclined her seat. The guy behind her was an older, and by older, I mean 60-something-year-old guy, American, drunk as you know what. And he didn't ask her to put the seat back up. He just goes and hit the seat. Like, her head goes, and she goes flying forward. And we had to have him removed. He was so angry that somebody would dare recline their seat on an international flight.
I'm going to flip it around and ask you this. With this dum-dum constantly her seat.
He's annoyingly just kind of pushing.
I think he can be removed for that behavior. And I mean like tossed out a door.
And let's be clear. Let's be clear about the behavior here. He slams her seat forward 9 times. Okay. Then she starts filming him and he doesn't slam it anymore. He's just pushing it a little bit. He's like being
which
annoying.
Which is worse. Like, that's why I called it like the drip of water on your forehead. It's like,
He's annoyingly just pushing it forward like every second.
Yeah, like he's 7 years old.
And he doesn't stop.
Have you seen Twitter? It has exploded over this.
2.4 million views, Dana Wright.
But again, what happened in the beginning of this? Because if I'm in the last row of an airplane and I say, ma'am, I'm sorry, I already don't fit in this seat. You're reclining of
then
whatever
4%. Then you shouldn't
4%.
Buy the seat in the last row. That's what I would say to this guy.
What if it was Southwest?
Sometimes you don't get the choice.
Yeah. Well, then you should have booked earlier.
No, that on Southwest, it's a cattle call. It doesn't matter when you
should have gotten there earlier.
I'm just saying, if I were to
everyone
have asked this lady politely.
Everyone knows the last seat doesn't recline.
Well, let me ask you something, and we got to get to break. If I'm sitting, you and I don't know each other, okay? I'm sitting behind you on a plane. And you roll that seat on back.
Coming on back.
And I say to you, you know, I'm shrinking. I'm now 5'11". I used to be 6 feet tall. But let's say I'm Sam Stevie. I'm 6'5", okay? And I lean across and I go, excuse me, miss, hi. Hi, how are you?
Sam Stevie here, 6'5".
Sam Stevie III, I'm 6'5". I noticed you just pulled your seat back. It's crushing my knees. Is there any way I can encourage you to put that seat back up? What would you say to him?
Is there any way I can encourage you to not have such long legs?
Okay, now who's the jerk here? See, then I would start.
Dude, I would tap that seat.
Tapping
that
seat
the whole damn flight. I would tap that seat all the way to Mexico.
When we come back, we will read some of the replies on Twitter. It is split right down the middle.
576-7798, 576-7798.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting.
Ah, Johnny Denver. Horn.
Already I'm so lonesome.
Should we really play a song?
Are
we singing about being on a plane?
So kiss me and smile.
I love this song. Don't ruin this.
I love this song too, but he died in a plane accident.
Don't ruin this.
He died in a plane accident.
The song's about being on a plane.
And that's where he died.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Valerie in Liberty. Hello, Valerie.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, I wanted to tell Dana that I read that story about the guy on the airplane this morning on the internet. And he was eating and had asked that lady to pull her seat forward while he ate. And she did that. But then after he finished eating, she leaned it back again. Well, and she was throwing a fit, and because he was beating on the back of his seat. And they called the flight attendant over, and the flight attendant kind of sided with that guy, and it made her madder. So the flight attendant offered him a drink. I think she said rum, but offered him a drink and said that it was rather crowded back there because, you know, he couldn't lean his seat back. But, yeah, she got madder because the flight attendant sided with the guy.
Let me ask you this, Valerie, and I have no problem, and I've been on a million flights where people have pulled their seat back. Don't you think you owe the person behind you, though, the common courtesy to let them know the seat's coming back?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, with him sitting in the back seat where he had no relief from it, I wouldn't have leaned my seat back anyhow. Those seats, you know, those seats really, when you're sitting in them, don't lean back that far to give you, you know, any comfort. So
that's
if
true.
You're making somebody else uncomfortable, I just couldn't do it.
Okay, let me read a couple of tweets.
I will say this. I have never in my life leaned my seat back.
See this who's the jerk here.
From Paul on Twitter, the most pathetic part about all the anti-airplane seat reclining people is that most of them are tall. Basically, they're shaming shorter people for finally having one inconvenience in life as a tall person. Can you imagine being that ungrateful about being genetically gifted? This is the tweet.
What?
Who says being tall is genetically gifted?
Yeah, I was going to say, what genetic ungift have you received for being short?
One of the only benefits of being as short as I am is I can stand up on an airplane and I don't hit my head when I stand.
Okay, I cannot do that.
I have plenty of leg room because I don't have legs.
I cannot do that.
There's two benefits.
There is no way. A, I would never lean my seat back to begin with, and I never have. And I would, you don't lean it back far enough where it's like, oh, now I can sleep. Give me a break.
Man, and I was upright, and now I'm still upright, but I'm so much more comfortable.
Someone writes that airplane, here's another one on Twitter, that airplane seat recliners are among the biggest narcissists in the world.
Amen to that.
No!
Mm-hmm. You know what they need to do is get rid of the ability to recline one seat on an airplane. You're not going back going, oh, now I can sleep. I couldn't sleep when I was 3 inches more forward.
Okay, and to that end, Matt Walsh on Twitter says, tall people have 1 inch of space on an airplane. If you recline, you take that space, causing their knees to be crushed up against your seat. You are causing significant discomfort to someone else in order to increase your comfort by a very narrow margin.
Mm-hmm.
You're a blank.
Not to mention, you could be causing health problems by applying continuous pressure to their kneecaps.
Oh,
that's right.
Please.
That's right.
That's
then
a
you
fact.
Know what? Then
that's
you
right.
should pay for more leg room.
You should pay we for first class seats so you can room. Lay down.
Chris yeah. pays for more leg room every single time he's on a plane.
How?
I don't know. You pay like $26 and you get a better seat.
The seats in
they're
the
all
front.
The same.
No, they're not.
They're not all the same. Several airlines now have seats towards the front that are wider.
Well, that's discrimination.
No, it's not. It's,
and you can pay more for them.
That's heightist.
Capitalism is what it is. Pay me more, and I'll give you more legroom. Chris does it every single flight.
Sam's right. You're a heightist.
I'm not a heightist. Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.